This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Of course, I know I sound like crap and I can't open the show the way I want to and scream and yell and have fun. I understand that, but it is me. I am alive and I'm fine. I just sound like death warmed over. So here's what we have tonight on the Jesse Kelly Show. We have the talking points, the specific talking points that went out to the media. You're going to love this. In fact, we're going to talk about this to open up the show. This Russia Chinese strategic bomber over Alaska. We're going to discuss that. A big financial fraud thing. A great, great development when it comes to local police versus the FBI. All that and so much more, of course, including Ask Dr. Jesse questions. We're going to talk about the norms, starting a small business, politics, the shooting. All that coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. I want to begin here. You know, we talk about the system. We talk about the hive mind. How the average communist, your liberal Aunt Peggy, the people you see in the media, how they're really more robot than human. And they want to be, remember. Remember, you crave freedom in a way they do not. Do not put your values onto them. They want to be told what to do, what to think, where to go. They want to be guided and cared for. And that's a very common human condition. You're a freedom lover. You're different. But these people are not. And that's why the hive mind works. Even if the hive mind is uploading lies to them, they prefer the safety of the lies the hive mind says. And here's how it works. Things get disseminated. The system decides on a course of action. They begin to disseminate that information out to the public through the hive mind. The public ends up being the enforcers themselves of the truth, the air fingers quote truth, the hive mind gave to them. You want an example of this before we get into what they just did? How many people in your life yelled at you, or at least guided you, about why you needed to wear a mask during COVID? How many people? How many? You had someone, didn't you? Maybe it was your mom, your daughter, your boss, a coworker, someone you went to church with, school with, played sports with. Somebody in your life, they told you, hey, wear a mask. Could you pull your mask up? Make sure you're wearing a mask, didn't they? Now, here's the question. Where did they get that information from? You see, prior to COVID, there was never a call in my 43 years on this planet. There was never a call for widespread usage of the mask. In fact, at the beginning of COVID, even guys like Fauci are on camera laughing about the idea of everyone in the general public masking up. There's actually audio of this. Fauci on camera saying, no, everyone's not going to walk around wearing a mask. It's not even going to do anything. And then fast forward 5 minutes later and your liberal Aunt Peggy is screaming that you're not allowed in her studio apartment if you don't put 3 masks on. Why? Well, the hive mind told her that's what good citizens do. That's what good people do. And then liberal Aunt Peggy became one of the main enforcers of the lie the system told the public. That's how it works. And so, gosh, I sound horrible. I'm sorry I sound so horrible. I swear I'm going to be better when I get back. It's just my voice. I feel fine. It's my voice. But so you've heard, it's been all over the news for about the last 48 hours about the border czar controversy. Now, in case you're just now turning it on, maybe you're behind, here's what it is. I'll give you the 1 minute breakdown of it. Joe Biden gets elected. Joe Biden's wife, Jill, hates Kamala Harris. Joe Biden opens up the border so all the dirt balls can flood into the country. It's immediately a controversy. It's a controversy Joe Biden doesn't want to work with. So on camera, Joe Biden, he's sitting at a table. He hands the responsibility of the border to Dome. He hands responsibility of the border to Kamala Harris. This is all done on camera. And on camera, she accepts the responsibility. Again, all this is done on camera. It's not like you have to do the heard from a guy who heard from a guy thing. All this video is readily available. Okay? So he hands her the border. But Dome, remember, Dome doesn't have any principles at all. Honestly, she's not even really a committed communist. She's really not. Dome's only principle is ambition, promotion. Well, she's not dumb. She's not going to run down to the border and jump on that grenade for Joe Biden. So she just never goes. Remember, she never goes. The only thing she did, she flew down to Guatemala and lectured them about climate change. Remember that? So she never went. Only she was. The border czar. Media ran with it. Everyone ran with it. She was known as the border czar. Well, now you see Democrats have a problem. The problem is there are two things in every single public opinion poll that move the needle towards Republicans and away from Democrats. Immigration and inflation. Those are the two biggest issues on the minds of voters right now. People can't afford to live. They can't afford basics. And so they're upset. They can't pay the bills. Here's a headline. The percentage of Americans that worry they won't be able to pay their bills is higher than it was during the Great Depression. That's from Zero Hedge. People are upset. Their dollar isn't going as far. And they're upset about immigration, which ties into that as well. And they blame Democrats for both those things. Well, if Democrats are already underwater on an issue like immigration, and you make the Democrat nominee the person who's the, quote, border czar, well, that kind of, that doesn't look very good, doesn't it? It looks terrible. What are they doing? Well, they're lying. The hive mind has come up with a new upload. So I'm going to read for you a couple things. And just tell me, it's been about 48 hours. Tell me if any of these things sound familiar, if you've heard or read any of these things. Okay? You ready? I'm going to start reading now. Vice President Harris was never appointed border czar. There has never been such a position. It doesn't exist. Border czar was a title invented by Republicans. She was not asked to lead the administration's immigration or border enforcement policies. The role focused on changing conditions in other countries, not the U.S. Border crossings by migrants from Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, the country's Vice President Harris's root cause portfolio, have decreased dramatically in recent years. Have you heard in the last 24 to 48 hours, have you heard anybody repeat any of those talking points? Maybe all of them? Oh, you have? Do you know where I read them from? This was leaked from a Democrat on Capitol Hill. I read that from the note card where the talking points were disseminated to other Democrats and media members. Now, they all say the same thing.
She was never assigned the position of border czar. They're making that up.
You see, sometimes the hive mind and its upload to all the drones who plug into it, sometimes it's not just some random thing or something that happens in dark rooms somewhere. Sometimes the hive mind, they print out the lies on back in black and white. They hand these lies out to Democrat politicians, loser Republican politicians and leadership, media members, and then the people with these big, powerful platforms, they disseminate these lies out to the general public. Your liberal Aunt Peggy receives these lies, believes these lies, and then becomes the enforcement arm of these lies. So when you get together for her witch ceremony or whatever she's doing this weekend, and you walk in the house and she's wearing her Harris 2024 t-shirt and the subject of border czar comes up, she will scream at you until she's blue in her inner face that she Kamala Harris was never the border czar. You're lying. You're a Republican. You made that entire thing up, and liberal Aunt Peggy will believe it. That is how the hive mind works. That is how the system works. That is how they got a country of 330 million people to stand 6 feet away from each other and pretend like that stupid paper mask that looks like a screen door on your back porch is stopping the microscopic virus that's floating around in the air. How could these things happen? The hive mind disseminates the lies. The people themselves, the politicians, the media members repeat the lies, and soon the lies become truth. And that ties me right into the people who still believe the media. We haven't asked Dr. Jesse question about that. We'll get to that in a moment. Are you not interested in signing up to be part of the hive mind? I'm personally not interested in that. It's part of the reason I take a male vitality stack from Chalk every day. I actually don't really care what Democrats say, the media says, what Republicans say. I'm going to come up with my own solutions and my own thoughts about everything because my mind is crystal clear. What if you did something for yourself? What if you got yourself a male vitality stack subscription from Chalk or a female vitality stack subscription and you gave it 90 days? 90 days to feel better, 90 days to think clearly, 90 days to have full energy at 2-3 in the afternoon instead of feeling like you need a nap, 90 days to change the rest of your life. Get a subscription. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse, or you can call them, text them, 50CHOQ3000. We'll be back.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA!
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a laryngitis Thursday. I'm just kidding. It's an Ask Dr. Jesse Thursday. In fact, I'm going to talk about, I was just talking about the lies they've already disseminated to the press. Now we're going to discuss, well, someone has an Ask Dr. Jesse question about that. And Jesse, I want to hit my normie friend over the head with a cinder block. Quick side note, please don't do that. Don't hit anybody with any cinder blocks. Do you think that might help him see the world more clearly? He told me he can understand why the media is in the tank for the libs, but insists that if they were really, that they wouldn't have gone, or why I think the media is in the tank for the libs, but says if they were really, they wouldn't have gone after Joe Biden like I did. Is this norm really just a subconscious commie? I would love to know your thoughts on this. His name is Johnny. So this guy, Johnny, is talking to his friend. And he's telling his friend about the apparatchiks in the media. And his friend says, no, all these media people, they're not libs. They wouldn't have gone after Joe Biden if they were all libs. You're crazy. And he wants to know, is his friend a subconscious commie? No, your friend is a normal human being. And I'm not saying that as a compliment at all. Your friend is like, well, 80-90% of the population. You know, let's just have a long talk about this. Most of the population, most people are normal and want to be normal, and they don't want to stand out in any way. In fact, most people actively avoid standing out, doing things differently. Let me ask you something. Does this show sound like other shows? A little different, isn't it? Why is that? Well, you know what? Set this show aside. Let's talk about the other shows for a moment. Obviously, there's some wonderful shows out there. I'm not indicting all of them. But why does so many of them sound the same? Because you get this dream job. You want to do talk radio for a living. And what do you want to do? What do you sit down to do? You sit down and you try to sound like everyone else. It's a perfectly natural instinct. Well, I want to try to sound like Rush Limbaugh when there's only one Rush Limbaugh. I want to sound like Glenn Beck. I want to do that. But you're not those guys. I'm not those guys. You go do it differently. You be you. But most people don't. That's why all shows sound the same. Most people just want to believe what others believe. They don't want to think more deeply. They don't want to break out of it. You need to understand, I talk to you about this a lot, how truly unique you are. And I'm not saying that to compliment you, although it very much is a compliment. You need to understand that you're different because it will help you understand your norm and norma friend more. I'm not saying you won't get angry with them. I get angry with mine all the time and I get frustrated and I can't get them to vote and I can't get them involved and I'm trying and I'm beating my head against the wall. But I have to constantly remind myself, and my wife helps remind me, that I don't think about politics and power and countries and history in a way that most people do. You think like me. We don't think like they do. And, you know, what do you know? How much do you know about Genghis Khan? And no, I'm not going to do a very long, long history, but for those who don't know, Genghis Khan came up, he rose up from what was essentially a tribal society, not essentially, from a tribal society in the Asian steppe. The Asian steppe is this extremely inhospitable place. Essentially, draw a horizontal line through the middle of Asia, a big, thick horizontal line through the middle of Asia, and that's considered the steppe. It's hot and it's cold and it's mountains and it's desert and it's really, really, really rough terrain. And Genghis Khan and his Mongols, they were one of many, many horseback nomadic cultures in the Asian steppe. And they were super, super vicious with how they did warfare and super great at warfare. And Genghis Khan comes along and he takes these small tribes, a bunch of different ones, and he essentially conquers his way into commanding all of them into one gigantic Mongol army. And then this Mongol army launches forward and they begin attacking China and they're attacking the Muslim empire of the Middle East and they're attacking the Christian empires in Europe and they just keep destroying everybody. And when they destroy people, part of what made it so jaw-dropping was, honestly, it was worse than the things the Assyrians did. If the Mongols told you, submit or die, they meant it. When they conquered your city, if you had been given the option to submit and you didn't, they will kill everybody. Every man, woman, child. They would kill the pets. They were so committed to killing everybody, they would leave a city after they've killed everyone and they'd send people back a couple weeks later to go make sure there weren't any people in hiding who came out so they could make sure they killed them too. And then they would build a mountain of skulls outside of the city of all the heads they chopped off as a message to other people. It wasn't as if they were shy about this whole thing. The Mongols would show up at your door, say, submit or you will die. And if you didn't submit, they would kill every single person. And then they would practically, for the 1200s, they practically put it on the internet, broadcasting to everyone, this is coming. This will happen to you if you mess with us. They were not shy about this. They bragged about this. Now, what does this have to do with your friend and the media and everything else? I will explain that after I get done explaining that what you really need right now, since you still have a head the Mongols haven't chopped off, what you need is to lay that head on a queen-size premium MyPillow right now because they're only $19.95. Look, you have a head. Genghis Khan hasn't chopped it off. So treat it right. You understand the MyPillows, they're just different. That fill they put in there is different. Everyone in my family, even my sons, insist on having one now. It's nothing but MyPillows all over the house. And my mattress toppers, their mattress toppers are incredible. You get them as low as $69.98 right now at MyPillow.com. Go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener special square and use the promo code Jesse. They have huge deals on all this stuff right now. You can even get a six-piece towel set for $25. MyPillow.com, promo code Jesse, or call 800-845-0544. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Shut up, Chris. I know my voice doesn't sound good. Okay, I'm doing the best I can. And I'm doing the best I can not to project too much, because then it's just going to go out and we're going to have a one-hour Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday instead of a three-hour Jesse Kelly Show. And I don't want that, because I love you and I miss you. And I'm not going to be able to do my show for a couple days. Remember, I'm not going to be here. Look, I'm not going to be here for a couple days. I have a Marine Corps reunion tomorrow, and then the suits are dragging me all over the country next week for a couple days doing suit things. What, Chris? What? Is the Marine Corps reunion at a bar? No. I'll tell you what, I'll get to that in a minute. I want to finish my thought. So I was just talking about, the guy wrote in, he's complaining about his normie friend doesn't think the media's, how could the media be in the tank for Biden or for Democrats when they just took out Joe Biden? Okay, and I was talking about the history of Genghis Khan, just a little brief history on his conquests and how they did conquests back then, how they used to kill everyone when they would show up. If they conquered your city, everyone was going to die. But my point in all that was this. Even after Mongol conquests that had already killed millions of people, this is without bombs or bullets, millions of people had already died underneath the Mongol conquests. Even then, when you read the history books, when you read the stories of it, when Genghis Khan and his juggernaut army would approach virtually everywhere. It was the common theme everywhere. The common theme amongst the populations where he was coming was, okay, well, oh, he's coming, but he's not really that tough. He can't really do this. He won't really do that. Surely he's not. I think about what happened in Hungary. I think about what happened in various places in Russia, where they would send warnings ahead of time. People who knew Genghis Khan knew the conquests, and they would go sit down with, you know, a king somewhere, a prince, and they'd say, "Hey, this huge army is coming, and they're going to kill every man, woman, and child, and they're going to kill them very, very quickly if we don't batten down the hatches or escape or join an alliance." And those people were laughed off almost every time. Oh, please. Oh, he's not that. It is human nature. It is human nature when things are really, really bad to pretend as if they aren't, because accepting a world where things are really, really bad is somehow more painful than just living in a world of make-believe lies. Your normie friend, he's not a bad person. He's probably not even a closet communist. What he is, he's an 80 percenter. He's just like most of the population. He understands that, yeah, this individual in the media may be bad, or this one, but he can never fully accept that the people in the United States government, both politicians and bureaucrats, work hand in hand with the media, the education system, and other entities in this country to burn down the United States of America, and their intention is to do that, so they can acquire money and power for themselves during the burning. If you were to give that very simple truth to your normie neighbor, even if a teeny tiny little part of him wanted to believe it, or even a little teeny tiny part of him knew you were right when you said it, he still would cease to believe it, because what does it mean if Genghis Khan really is coming? What does it mean? It's too much. It's too much to think about. So they ignore it and pretend it's not happening until the day Genghis shows up at the door. Our quest, your quest, my quest, to wake up the norms and normas in our lives, it is going to be a lifelong quest that is going to be met with much more failure than success. We will have successes. And we have to keep doing it, because it's the only way we can save this place. We will have successes, but there's going to be more failure than successes, because we don't have a huge population to recruit from. Don't get me wrong. We have a ton of people. I keep calling them the 80%, but pick your number. The vast majority of those people do not want to be unplugged from the matrix. That world is scary. and it's dark, and that they would have to, it would involve a lot more effort. You know, here's something you don't probably think about, something I honestly don't think about much. It takes effort to care. It takes effort to care about anything in life, whether that's how do you raise your kids, or maybe you are one of those kids, maybe you're in school, or your grades. It takes effort there. It takes effort to care about work. It takes effort to care about things. It takes effort to care about your country. It takes effort to care about the evil people who are ruining it. It takes effort. And a lot of people, I'm going to use the word lazy, but that's probably not even really fair, to be honest. A lot of people just simply don't want to use any effort up stressing about these things. Are they mad about the cost of eggs and the cost of gas? Of course they are. But if you ask them to really dig into it deeper, why are the costs going up of everything? Why this? Why that? Have you thought about this? They'll almost reject it out of spite. And a big reason they'll do that is it takes so much freaking work to actually dig in and figure out how things work out there. It does. Provocations. This is from Red State. Russian and Chinese military aircraft were intercepted off the Alaskan coast. All right. This is a couple big strategic bombers. You can look them up if you're one of the military nerds. Russian Tu-95s and PRCH-6s. Those are just, don't worry about knowing what those are. They're big bombers. Chinese bombers and Russian bombers. Big strategic bombers flying together, violating our airspace off the Alaskan coast. NORAD figured out they were there, and it's bad. So they remained in international airspace, I should say, but they got way, way, way closer than they should be. Kind of one of those things where you used to do to your, when you were annoying, or if you were that annoying kid or knew that annoying kid where he puts his finger an inch away from your face and says, I'm not touching you, I'm not touching you, I'm not touching you. They did the nation state version of that, the I'm not touching you game. No, we're still in international airspace. We just happen to be farting distance away from your country. Look, the truth is that we don't even have a commander-in-chief right now. Peter Ducey asked Corinne Diversity Hire pretty much the same question.
Are you getting a sense yet, based on everything that's been going on, that some of America's enemies might be looking at what's happening here and think there's nobody in charge?
So let me just say this. There is very much someone in charge. The president is the president until the end of his term. So that statement is certainly false. And we have seen the president bring together our allies and partners. He reinvigorated NATO. He got more than 50 countries behind Ukraine to make sure that they were able to defend themselves against Putin. He stood up to Putin, and he's done a lot more. And now, right now, as we're speaking, I believe it's still happening, the president is having a bilateral conversation meeting with the Prime Minister of Israel. So, who, by the way, the Prime Minister of Israel thanked the president for the work that he's been able to do in helping to make sure that Israel is able to have an ironclad security.
Yeah, there's nobody in charge. And look, this is the same president, even if he is out of bed. This is the same guy who allowed a Chinese spy balloon to traverse from the West Coast to the East Coast, clear across the country, without a response. Yeah, it's a good point, Chris. It took like a week. It's not like this was 5 minutes. They just kind of let it go for days. The enemies know. All right. Let's talk about starting a business right now, being an adventurous person right now. Let's talk about Trump. Is he the system disruptor we're waiting for? So much more. First, let's talk about this. Let's talk about catastrophically injured veterans for a moment. You know, here's one of the realities of these guys who come back from combat and they're all blown up, you know, missing arms, missing legs. One of the biggest burdens on them is that they feel like a burden to family and friends. You know, as a man, if your wife has to help you in and out of the shower every day, that can be rough. You hear that consistently from these guys, how rough that is for them. You know that Tunnel to Towers builds these guys smart homes? Homes that are built specifically for their injuries so they feel like less of a burden? Isn't that something so blessed? That's just wonderful. I just want you to know that's where your $11 a month goes, to Tunnel to Towers. They just do incredible stuff. Go give 11 bucks a month if you aren't already. T2T.org. T2T.org. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're going to love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. We're going to get to this great news about local cops, the FBI, probably about 10 minutes from now. We need to get through some Ask Dr. Jesse questions first, though. Jesse, given the signs of the times, what are your thoughts on starting a small business in the current social slash political climate? We're in a blue-run city, but it's full of military. Should we be using our resources to prepare our families? All right. The reason I wanted to read this is I've had a lot of different versions of this question, and not necessarily always about starting a small business, but Jesse, my wife and I are getting ready to retire. We've always wanted to travel. Should we? What if, should we set that aside now? Should we just stay home and buy ammunition? Is it too unsafe to travel? You know about the flights. Jesse, we're thinking about starting a small business. Should we? Jesse, I want to move out from my parents. I'm about to graduate. I've always wanted to go to Alaska and do work in commercial fishing. That's all the, should I, or should I not? And the question always comes back to basically this. The times are changing. In a lot of different ways, times are getting worse. So should I take these plans? Should I take my hopes, dreams, motivations, and set those aside because things around me are going to crap? Obviously, that's a decision you're going to have to make on your own. You have to pray about that and make that on your own. But let me just tell you this as clearly as I possibly can. Don't you dare stop living your life for anybody. You are not going to get a do-over. You're not going to get a second chance. You're going to live for maybe 80 years, 90 years, and then you're going to die. And this is the only 80, 90 years, if you're lucky, God's ever going to give you. If you have dreams of seeing Zimbabwe, get on a freaking plane and fly to Zimbabwe. If you have dreams of starting a small business, you'll hate yourself 20 years from now if you don't try a small business. If you have dreams of moving to Alaska, joining the Peace Corps, the Marine Corps, or if you're this...
Why are you gay?
The Air Force. Go join whatever. Go have an adventure. I have not done very many things right in my 43 years on this planet. Lord knows I have screwed up enough of my life, I could write a whole book about that, of all the wrong I've done and mistakes I've made. But if I could say one general thing I probably have done right in my 43 years is, whew, it's been an adventure. If the good Lord takes me home tonight, I rode my 43 years as hard as I could possibly ride them, and here I am. And remember, most of my adventures have ended in horrific failure. From running for Congress, lost twice, I've almost died. My adventures just don't really work out for the most part. This is the only huge, huge risk I ever took that actually worked. But I still love it. I still look back and I think, dang, I'm glad I friggin' tried. You don't stop living your life. Whatever you're doing. You know, my grandpa Hank, He just died a little while ago. God rest his soul. He's a wonderful man. Had a wonderful life. Don't feel bad. It's the life everyone would dream of. Lived into his 90s. He was a farmer. Died surrounding by his children who loved and adored him. But my grandma, his wife, obviously my grandma Helen, had passed some years ago. And my grandpa Hank, he's an older man. You know, your body doesn't last forever. It wasn't as sharp, and I mean, eyes weren't as sharp. He was a very sharp man, but eyes weren't as sharp. Ears aren't as good. Your reaction time isn't there. And he used to just drive across the country by himself all the time. He drove clear to Alaska from Ohio by himself. And, you know, my mom, his daughter, and us were talking about it. Did you hear what grandpa's doing? And I remember having these conversations like, what? He's going to kill somebody or himself. What is he doing? It's not as if he was an unsafe driver, but you're by yourself. You're older. Well, you could have a heart attack in the middle of the road. But I so admire that. He was a man in his 80s, and he, for various reasons, never got a chance to do that. He wasn't letting his freaking 80s hold him back from that. He's getting in the car, and he's driving. And if he wants to see Alaska, then by golly, that's where he's driving, is freaking Alaska. That's awesome. That's really cool. Hey, Jesse, one question. Now tell me, is Trump the disruptor we've all been waiting for? Okay, let's talk about this before I get into this, because this will probably be a longer question. Probably should have waited on this, and this will probably be a longer answer. Let me just do this. Reach out to somebody today you love. Just talking about my grandpa, it reminded me, ever since he passed, I've been trying to make sure I call my parents more and more, because they're alive. They're still alive. They're still together. I'm still close with them. And, you know, I talked to my mom about it. I realize that she misses him. I've had my parents my whole life to talk to, and one day I won't. And they'll be gone, and I'll wish I'd made those phone calls. So switch to Pure Talk and make those phone calls. You want to make sure you switch to Pure Talk first, because your dad or your mom, they're going to want to know that you're not calling them from dirty communist phone lines. And that's what Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile are. They're really, really disgusting companies. If you go look at the cell phone companies, they're some of the most gross commie woke companies out there, but not Pure Talk. Pure Talk loves this country. Do you want to talk about old school? Speaking of grandpas, Pure Talk hires Americans. Like, they brag about it. Their customer service. When you get a hold of someone at Pure Talk, it only takes 10 minutes on the phone to switch. It's nothing. When you get a hold of somebody there, they'll speak English to you, and they're pleasant. When's the last time you got a hold of customer service? They spoke perfect English, understood yours, and they were pleasant to you. Pick up your phone, dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. That'll save you an extra 50% off your first month. #250, say Jesse Kelly. Switch to Pure Talk. All right, so is Trump the disruptor we've been waiting for? Maybe you're a new listener to the show, so let me just recap this really quickly. You know what the system is by now. I'm not going to do that. The big evil system that governs us, the institutions, from the corporations to the government, all one sick evil system. They all work with each other to gain more money and power and destroy us, the country. And what I've said is, if you look at the history books, this is not at all uncommon. This is what happens when powerful empires get, later on in their life, they get corrupted. The government, the institutions become corrupted and rotted and evil. And what happens from there is the people, the patriotic people of whatever country, we'll make this about ours, they don't like that. I don't like that. You don't like that. And so the people, they want it fixed. And if enough people want a problem fixed, well, then eventually what you're going to have is you're going to have men who will rise up to fight against that system. I've always called them system disruptors. So is Trump that guy? Is he the one who's going to fix it all? Let's talk about that next.
This is an iHeart podcast.